It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. I need to pause for just a second and pay tribute to a longtime phenologist and good friend, Ed Dallas. Ed passed away last Sunday from complications caused by Alzheimer's. Ed and his wife Julie had recently moved to Washington to be closer to their family, and Ed was stricken with Alzheimer's, and on Sunday he passed. Ed was larger than life. If you met Ed, if you heard us talking, Ed and I did many programs together here on KAXE, and Ed was a frequent contributor to the Phenology Show. Ed also raised sled dogs, raced them, was very active in the John Beargreese sled dog race every year, manned a spot on the trail to help out with runners, dog mushers. He was just that kind of a guy, always willing to help. You may recall Ed actually, I may be stretching a bit when I say he starred. Ed had a part in a movie about sled dog racing called Iron Will. And Ed will be missed. If you knew Ed and would like to send a note, you can reach Julie Dallas, Post Office Box 102, North Bonneville, Washington, 98639. And we will have that available for you online in case you didn't grab a pencil and write it down. Ed, rest in peace, buddy. It was a good run. We had a lot of fun. Now on to phenology. And this is the time of year when, obviously, things are beginning to change. Many of you have reported seeing maple trees changing color. The hazel brush is definitely changing color. There's just a lot going on, and we're going to run through a bunch of it. We're going to start with, let's start with the maples. I have some maples that are bare of leaves. They turned color and dropped their leaves already. I also have maples that are as green as they were in July and don't look like they're going to turn color anytime soon. And I have maples at every stage of color in between no color and no leaves. There are red maples, yellow maples, orange maples. They're all red maples, but they have these different colors. And I haven't seen a lot of the really spectacular reds. There are a couple along the river road where I come and go from town and that are spectacular, that always are spectacular. And I keep telling myself, I'm going to go take a cutting off of one of those and see if I can root it and get that leaf at my house. But I haven't done that. And at my house, the reds are not as spectacular as I might have hoped. But there are a bunch of them that may still yet come through for me. So the red maples are definitely doing their thing. The silver maple in my yard and the silver maples up at Virginia at the North Star Elementary School are also doing the exact same thing. And that is about 10% of their leaves turn yellow at a time. And those leaves then fall. And then some more leaves turn yellow. And then those yellow leaves fall. And gradually the tree will sort of thin its leaves out to where it's about half or less of the original canopy of leaves. And then all at once they will turn yellow and drop, and then it'll be time to clean my deck because there'll be a half a foot of leaves on the deck when that thing finally lets go. So silver maples, they're green right now, but they are also yellow, and not overwhelmingly so. If you look at them, you will see that they're going to look pretty green. It takes a pretty discerning eye to make out all of the yellow leaves that are in there. I've seen just a few of the aspens begin to turn color. The birches are starting to turn color. I've seen some birches that are quite far along. the birches that I observe regularly that are part of my phenology hike, they are like the silver maple. There are a few yellow leaves, but mostly green. And the yellow leaves kind of rain out and drop down, and it seems like they're always got about 10% of their leaves are yellow, but the number of leaves on the tree are getting less and less. So check out the birch. Oaks, both the white oak and the bur oak, or the bur oak and the red oak. The white oak is the bur oak up here. The bur oak and the red oak are both starting to show some definite signs of color. More green than in the case of the bur oak, yellow, in the case of the red oak, red or bronze. But there are maybe a quarter of the leaves at my house are definitely changing color on the oaks. The oak, the white oak is done with its acorn crop. All of those acorns have either fallen or have been carried off by squirrels. They really like the white oak, bur oak acorns. The red oak acorns, there are about 10% of the acorns are still left on the tree, but the tree is filled with a lot of empty caps and the ground is littered with acorns. And every day I have a doe and a fawn come into the yard and eat the acorns. It kind of upsets my dog. Not that my dog wants to eat the acorns, but she would enjoy chasing those deer if she could get outside and do it, but we're not letting that happen. And the deer come in and eat the acorns and move along, and I'm happy to have fewer acorns in the yard, and the deer are happy to get a little bit of nourishment out of them. You may recall the white oak acorns are the preferred acorn. They are sweeter, and they have more nutrition than the red oak acorns, so the squirrels tend to, when they can, ignore the red oak acorns and focus on the white oak acorns. Now that the white oak acorns are done, they will probably switch over and start messing around with the red oak acorns a little bit. They're not preferred. Hazelbrush, you know, the American hazel is red and the beaked hazel is yellow. And right now, there are both of them are pretty substantial in their color, pretty easy to spot. I'd say about half of the leaves at my house, about half of the leaves have fallen off of the hazels, both American and beaked. And the half that remain are about half yellow and half green. So they're still in the process. It's usually right around the 1st of October that the hazel brush is finally done. Down, and it's at that point that I think, well, now maybe I'll have a chance at seeing those ruffed grouse instead of just hearing them. So shouldn't be too long. We are at the 22nd. By the way, either today or yesterday was the solstice, so the sun was directly above the equator at noon yesterday. It came up exactly down the east-west road that leads into my house, right straight down. If I'd been up at dawn, the sun would have risen right straight in line with that road, and it sets right and straight with in line with that road in the evening as well. And now it's going to start progressively getting further and further south of the road, so we will keep an eye on that too. I've been watching, I have a black ash in my yard that is still pretty healthy. And I'm hoping that the emerald ash borer doesn't find it anytime soon. That was bright yellow a week ago when we talked, and yesterday when I looked at it, it was absolutely bare. All of the leaves have fallen from the ash. There's a box, not box elder, it's a balsam poplar, balm of Gilead, that grows right next to the ash that's also among the trees that I regularly survey, and that one is about 75% of its leaves are still on the tree, but about 75% of the leaves that are on the tree are brown or yellow-brown and on their way off. So we're probably seeing by this time next week, I would expect that my balsam poplars will be bare. The flowers that I ran into this past week. Well, before we get to the flowers, let's just mention the pines, the jack, the white, and the red pine. all have yellow or orange needles on them, and those needles are beginning to fall off, as some of the students mentioned. And white cedar is also in that group, and some of those needles are orange and ready to fall or will be falling. So keep an eye on your pines, those three-year-old needles. And in the case of the cedars, they're sort of a flattened needle, actually. And all of those will be, all of the 3 or 4 year old needles will be falling off the tree and not to be replaced. Now let's take a quick look at the flowers. I have in flower yesterday while I was walking around, I had flat-topped asters, and that was yesterday. I had them at their last, probably their last bloom, their last flowers. That note on the 22nd compares to the 30th of September in 03, the 29th of September in 22. The average for the last flowers on the flat-topped asters around my place is the 16th of September. And most of those low numbers that kind of pulled that average back towards 16 occurred in the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s, although 9/30/03 certainly was early 2000s, but a late year. Black-eyed Susans still blooming. The last black-eyed Susans that I have on record are mid-October, the 26th of October in 2013, the 19th of October in 2019. Among the other plants that I found in bloom, red clover, white campion, silvery cinquefoil, tansy, purple-stemmed asters, northern heart-leaved asters, large-leafed asters, red clover, white campion, I mentioned white campion, hoary alyssum. There are still a number of flowers that are still in bloom, and some of those will persist until the snow covers them up. Among the birds, Canada geese, a big flock of Canada geese heading south. I've seen a few robins, and I've talked about robins before. Robins, typically I'll see my last robins in November, but the thing about robins that makes them a little bit hard to track is that this time of year they gather into flocks, and if they're not in your yard feeding, you may think that the robins are gone, but they're just in somebody else's yard feeding, so... big flocks of robins are moving around the countryside, and one day they'll probably be in your yard until about the middle of November, and then we'll see them no more. Yesterday I had three grackles show up at my feeder, and that's a bit unusual. I haven't seen a blackbird or a grackle at my feeder for a month, but these three, I don't know if they're migrating or what they were doing, but suddenly I had three of them kind of poking around in the on the ground below the... below the feeder, checking for, I don't know, sunflower seeds that broke, fell off, or maybe some of the suet that got knocked away when the woodpeckers came to eat. The rose-breasted grosbeaks have left. All of the immatures left this last week. I haven't seen a rose-breasted grosbeak at my house in several days. I haven't seen a hummingbird since a week ago Sunday, but my friend Dave Peterson down in Boy River had a picture that he sent me of a hummingbird at his feeder yesterday. And if you, my feeders are still out. I don't know when some poor hummingbird who got the message late is going to come through and need a drink, but I don't have a lot of liquids in them, and I change it out every 5 days or so. I'm mixing my ratio at 3-1 now rather than 4-1. I want to give them as much energy as they possibly can get. Dave sent me a note saying three parts water, one part sugar, and a sip of beer for the guy making the juice. So I think that's a pretty good recipe. Other than that, mushrooms, there have been mushrooms everywhere. The kids up in Virginia saw chanterelles and lobsters, both of which are delicious. I'm seeing a lot of honey mushrooms They are edible, but I don't eat them just because I'm not positive. And there is a look-alike for the honey mushroom that that can be poisonous, and so you're probably going to want to be in the presence of someone who knows what they're doing. And that is not me, so don't ask me, but find somebody who knows mushrooms and ask them. And as always, if someone says to you, oh, these are delicious, invite them to have dinner with you and make sure that they eat them first. That way you will be assured that they are safe to eat. Still a few mosquitoes around, and I have dates on mosquitoes that run all the way into October. I hate to say it. Deer flies. Normally, the 1st of September is the end of the deer fly season. So I went back and I looked at last deer flies, and the average is the 18th. I saw them on the 18th this year, the 16th in 03, the 18th in 2013, and in 2000 on the 17th. And in 2000, they started the year so early that we had 120 days of deer flies in 2000. Now, if you like statistics and you don't mind getting off the subject of science, I will tell you that the fact that the latest deer fly I ever recorded, which was on the 18th of September in 2013, preceded the latest coldest spring that I ever had. So 2013, 2014 were my two coldest, latest springs ever. So perhaps tying that record, the 18th this year, you know, if you wanna have some fun and don't mind being wrong, why, I would say, hey, this could be a really bad late spring. But you know what? There's no science behind that. So I will tell you what kind of a spring it is come June next year. All right? That's my deal for you. That's the Phenology Show this week. As usual, if you have comments or observations you'd like to send along, we really would like to hear from you. Please get in touch with us.
You can catch Phenology at our website or through the Season Watch newsletter. And coming soon to the podcast platform you use will be the Season Watch podcast.
All right.
Look for that coming up in October. We'll be telling you more about it. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer. We heard from Bill from Big Lake. He said, observation, some of the lilacs in our area have blossomed again. Not all just sporadically throughout our neighborhood. Not all just sporadically.
Bill, I meant to mention that because I looked at my lilacs yesterday, and though they don't have flowers, they do have new leaves emerging. And this is the second year that I've had this occur, and it is a result of that fungus that wiped the leaves off of the lilacs early this year. Typically, lilacs don't lose their leaves until now or a little bit later, sometimes into October. And the leaves on the lilacs, by the way, just they're green and then they just turn brown and fall off. But the fungus that afflicts the lilacs around here has knocked the leaves down. And your report of flowers plus my report of new leaves coming out just reinforces the fact that the lilacs, you know, they don't quite know what to do. And they've lost their leaves early, and they're kind of thinking, hey, it's still nice out. Maybe I ought to try again. And so they re-emerge with leaves, but they also will keep some in reserve. And next spring, they will have more energy and more buds to break and more leaves to put out. So it doesn't seem to afflict them too badly. If you have had your lilac leaves fall, turn brown and fall off already this summer, One of the things you can do is to rake up those leaves and get rid of them, either bag them up and take them to the dump or put them in your fire pit and burn them. But if you leave them sit under the tree, you're only kind of compounding the problem. The fungus is in those leaves and will quickly reestablish itself on your plants next year, and you'll have the same problem. But typically it happens later in the summer after the plants have flowered, and so it doesn't seem to be detrimental in the sense that you're not going to have lilacs next spring. You should have plenty of lilacs come mid to late May next year.